This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. As we know, it's flu season, and in this era of big data, computer models can help us predict how serious the current flu outbreak will become. Or can they? At issue is Google Flu Trends, which collects data from millions of us who use Google to search terms like flu symptoms, fever, and chills, and then estimates how serious the flu outbreak is based on all that data. Google says its computer model can estimate how widespread the flu is before the National Centers for Disease Control comes out with their numbers. So it's like an early warning system. But if you check out Google Flu Trends today, it looks as though the flu is much more widespread than the CDC says it is, maybe even at record levels. So what's going on? Carrie Goldberg has been reporting on this for WBUR's Common Health blog, and she's with us now. Good to have you, Carrie.
Thank you, Anthony.
So, Carrie, first, tell us how the CDC gets its data compared to Google Flu Trends.
Well, the CDC is sort of the gold standard. It's the official data, and they draw their data from things like lab tests that actually determine who has the flu, and they also have these sentinel sites, these doctor's offices or hospitals that are watching patients and that report to them on what percentage of the patients have flu-like illness.
Okay. So this is real medical data. So tell us about the disparity between Google Flu Trends and the CDC data. How is it diverging?
Well, there's actually this beautiful picture of how it's diverging on Common Health, our blog, that was generated by Keith Winstein, who is a former healthcare reporter for the Wall Street Journal and now a computer science graduate student at MIT. He took the public numbers from the CDC and from Google Flu Trends and compared them. And the graph shows that right around now, actually, the CDC numbers suggest that the flu has peaked and it's a little bit on its way down. But the Google Flu Trend numbers keep going up and up and up, suggesting that that the flu has not yet peaked and that it's really going to be extremely widespread.
As if by magic, Keith Winstein is with us right now. Again, he's a former healthcare reporter for the Wall Street Journal and now a grad student in computer science at MIT. And Keith, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
So when Google Flu Search was launched, it was considered 97% accurate with the CDC data. Now we're seeing this big discrepancy in the numbers that Carrie described. What's going on here?
It's very interesting to see because preliminarily, Google's estimates for how severe the flu is are much higher than what the CDC has been saying. In the week ending January 5th, the CDC so far has estimated that 4.3% of visits, or about 4% of visits to doctor's offices in the United States, were from patients with flu-like symptoms. But Google, for the corresponding the same week, has estimated that at 8.6%. So,
double.
What explains this divergence? And is this divergence explained in the way Google Flu Tracker works?
You know, you can teach a computer something, but in the end, computers are really good at telling us things that we already know. And when you give a computer a curveball, when you give a computer something unexpected, you know, who knows what's going to come out of it. So that could be happening. What's now is that, again, because the flu season is atypical, people are maybe searching for different things. There could be more media attention causing people to do searches even if they don't have the flu. There could be different behavior going to the doctor around Christmas. People could be using different words. People's spelling could have improved or gotten worse. Any kind of things could be different.
Very interesting. So give us some examples of the way Flu Tracker works and some of the ways it might be delivering misleading results.
So the way it works is Google has looked at the period from about 2003 to 2008, and they tried to say, okay, we know what the official numbers are from the CDC. Mm-hmm. What are some of the terms that people Google for that correspond to those terms? So, you know, we could find words where if people are searching for this word a lot, it means there's more flu. And they find words like fever. When more people are searching for the word fever, there's more people in the United States who have the flu. When more people search for the word pneumonia, even a certain misspelling of pneumonia, it means there's more people in the United States who have the flu. They even found when people search for the phrase Oscar nominations, it means there's more people in the United States with the flu.
Why would that be?
My question exactly.
Well, it's not because the Oscars give you the flu, but it's because they're correlated. Because the seasons coincide. So, you know, January, February, we're all looking at Oscar nominations. And typically in history, January and February is when everyone's got the flu. So even though they don't have anything to do with each other, to the computer, it looks like they might be related. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Google published that, and they don't, Oscar nominations is not one of the things that it looks for. But you have to be careful about that kind of thing.
Really interesting. Carrie, how has Google responded to these critiques, really, about the accuracy of their computer model?
I got an email from Kelly Mason, who is on the Global Communications and Public Affairs team at Google.org, which runs Google Flu Trends. And she said the most important point is that the data is still coming in, and some regions are reporting flu activity more quickly than others. Basically, it's still early. We just have to wait and see because we don't know what the final numbers are for this period. And she mentions that the CDC has this sort of disclaimer that says that as a result of the end of year holidays and the high flu season that coincided with them, some sites might be having longer than normal reporting delays. So in other words, the CDC official data might be slow to reflect just how much flu there is. But basically, you know, the bottom line is at this point, we don't know. But what an interesting question, because it reflects on the value of big data. And as Keith points out, that you might want to be very careful using computer models when accuracy really matters.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And Keith, let me come to you. Sort of the big takeaway, Carrie mentioned sort of the big question about relying on big data. Is that the big sort of takeaway message from this?
It's very easy when you have all the data in the world to think you know something. Mm-hmm. You know, Google has, I don't know how many people search Google, hojillions of Google searches happen every day. And it's easy to get quite confident, especially when you see how accurately you can predict the flu in the past, how well this thing appears to work. It will be very interesting to see if we've become overconfident, if that past correlation, if the computer unexpectedly stops working and you can't predict when. You know, the same thing happened with credit scores during the financial crisis. The banks thought that they could predict who would default and who would not default on their loans based on their credit history. And those predictions turned out to be wildly optimistic because people's behavior changed. I sent an email to my lab at MIT, the Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, and I said, has anyone else seen this? You know, what do you guys think? And Google saw that email. They've been very gracious about this. They've talked to me. You know, they're also watching this. They think, and I agree, that it's too early to tell really what's going on, and we'll have to see what happens.
Keith Winstein is a former healthcare reporter for the Wall Street Journal and now a grad student in computer science at MIT. And thanks so much for coming in, Keith. Fascinating conversation.
Thank you.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to her latest piece at radioboston.org. Great to see you, Carrie. Thanks for coming in.
You too, Anthony. Thanks.